This is the Financial Coconut Podcast, Singapore's first personal finance podcast network. My name's Rakesh, and together with Anthony, we scour the net to find worthy financial news and derive insights for all you coconuts. We are part-time investors with an intense full-time career. If we can do it, you can too. So join us every Wednesday for TFC's Weekly Market Update.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Updates. Hello, coconuts. Welcome to another weekly episode with me, Rakesh, where we scour the net to find worthy financial news for you. This week, three stories, but we thought we'd stay a bit Asian. We're going to bring up BYD, Build Your Dream. They haven't had their earnings yet, but they have released some news. So we want to tell you about that and possible uptick in that stock. Next, J&J and 3M file for bankruptcy. We want to inform you of something that we call the Texas Two-Step, I think in the US it's called. Anthony's going to take us through that. And last but not least, Parkway Life REIT earnings. Possible uptick here. Where to put your money during this sort of uncertain times. This could be a good, safer way, as opposed to, of course, holding cash or putting it in FD. Listen in and let us know your thoughts. Let's get to it. Hey, coconuts. Welcome back to Weekly Market Updates with me, Rakesh.
And Anthony, welcome to another week.
Hey, yeah, we
got a break last week.
Yes, we did. We had a little party ourselves, so that's nice, you know. Have some food, chit-chat.
Right. The one that I did not turn up to. Yes.
Yeah, correct. Don't worry, I ate for you, bro. I got you.
Okay. Good. Yeah. You collect ampa for me?
No, I wish, yeah.
Damn it.
No one actually brought ampa to give. But I had a lot of Ferrero Rochers for you also. Okay.
Lucky I never go.
Then you give everyone.
Very, very, very apt for an investing podcast, right? We just talk about money. That is the meaning of Chinese New Year.
Fair enough, man. All right, folks.
Hope everyone had a good break.
Absolutely. I think it's the first one after COVID, right? Technically, yeah.
Yes.
Technically, because early last year doesn't count.
No, and last year we couldn't really gather. I remember like shuttling to like different houses last year and like worrying about guest limits and all that kind of stuff because I'm a law-abiding citizen, right?
Right, of course. But
I was. So yeah, this year was good.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that isn't a law-abiding citizen. I don't know what you're talking about.
And some people litter, some people jaywalk also, you know. You look around, no policeman, no people jaywalk. But not me, yeah, some people.
Yeah. No.
Not you.
But yeah, when people go visiting, it's the first time, no limit, literally go in, gamble, do whatever, don't worry about it. But no gambling at home, right? Because you're law-abiding citizen.
Is it? That one I didn't know.
Yeah. Cannot gamble.
Okay. Yeah. We play mahjong for fun. Yes.
Can.
And keep your mind sharp. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Now that we have exhausted the small talk, we have we have three stories for you. All right, folks. Three stories. We are quite Asian.
Yeah.
The exception of J&J. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Surprisingly, maybe we should just go into like an Asia focused podcast and like not do tech anymore. Tech is depressing.
It can be Asian tech.
Asian tech, not US tech.
US tech got to wait for about 6 months.
Give it a while. We ride the next wave.
Yeah, man. All right, so we kick things off here with BYD, Build Your Dream. They have not had their earnings yet, but they have released some numbers. We want to talk about that in anticipation for their earnings call. We then move on to our next story, which is J&J. And last but not least, Parkway Life REIT earnings. Anthony has been wanting to talk about this for forever. I think it's boring. But you know,
it's just because my kid went to Mount E 2 weeks back, and then I got a shock, like really a shock when I got a bill. Like, I must figure out who owns this, and it's in Parkway Life REIT. So I don't talk about it.
Okay. I mean, if you're going to Mount E having lobsters and all that, expect
the lobster chicken claypot rice is actually really quite good. Like better than almost like. Like legit Crystal Jade standard, at least.
All right, folks. Now, to take you back to reality, let's talk about BYD. So BYD, as I'm sure you guys know, right, is a electric vehicle giant, right, based out of China. And one thing they wanted to release was the income that they raised and actually received last year. So they received somewhere around 2.5 billion US, which is about 17 billion yen, which is almost 500% of 2021. Ooh, right? 458 to be perfect, to be precise.
Yes.
That's insane, right? With the amount of scale up effectively BYD was doing. And Anthony, you've been talking about BYD last year, wasn't it, right? Towards the end of last year, since we've been talking about Tesla early last year, we're like, you know, screw this, let's talk about BYD.
Yeah.
And you did see the impact because they were building out the whole plant and all of that then, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we talked about it. One, when they were delivering more cars than Tesla, so they could produce more than Tesla. And two, I think in the context of batteries and like Warren Buffett selling out his stake, that sort of stuff as well. So yeah, I think quite a few stories about BYD last year. But you know, I think it's the EVs are a trend now, right? So it might as well talk a bit more about the competition and where things end up. Like Tesla is not the be all and all of it.
Of course.
Or Rivian.
Yeah.
We did talk about Rivian.
And
kind of disappeared.
Yeah. Amazon. Okay, anyways.
Anyway.
Back to BYD. Yeah, so you know, they sold 1.8 million units last year, which is what, triple what it is, which is insane again. It's the amount of I would say the scale in which they have done in 2022 was quite insane. And they've met these sort of demands, right? In retrospect, if you look at Tesla, they delivered 1.3 million as opposed to 1.86. But they were still shy of that 1.4 million that Elon Musk wanted.
Yep.
Right?
Even so after their year-end discounts. Yes.
Exactly. But I think one of the things to take note about BYD is that number one, they've been mainly in China. They've expanded to a few other areas in Europe. They are looking at expanding to a few other regions as well in the form of 2023. They are a bit wary about the US is what I was reading.
Yeah.
How to go ahead and do that.
They need to open a shell company in Singapore, you know, wash some money here, and then ta-da, I'm now a Singaporean EV company that can sell to the US.
Exactly. And I think one thing I was reading was that they sell their battery tech to Tesla.
Yeah.
Is what I was reading, which I thought was pretty cool. You knew this? You didn't tell me this?
No, BYD, I think, are the second or third largest battery supplier in the world, right? And Tesla, contrary to a lot of popular belief, does not produce too much of their own batteries. I mean, they have some battery tech, but you know, not too much. They get it from like, you know, a kettle a bit, BYD a bit, I think Panasonic a bit as well, depending on the model. So people think Tesla does end-to-end, they do their own battery tech. They do have their own in-house batteries, but it's not in all cars.
Got it. So yeah, I think that there are a lot of things to look out for BYD, right? Number one was the fact that they actually do a battery tech that Tesla is buying.
Yep.
Number two, they were actually quite focused on the middle income, right? So not premium cars, but the volume sales, right? Which kind of makes sense because that's what they were building out the plant for, which is why they can churn out so many cars a year. And they're priced under Tesla, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Effectively, you're marketing
Tesla after the last price cut. I think Tesla cut their price first week of this year, right? That's why people are protesting. Yeah. It's like, dude, I bought it last year. 1 week later, it's like 7,000 cheaper. What the hell?
Well, Tesla bopian, you see. They got to cut their price in order to maintain this.
That's the thing, right? Like, I mean, to digress and talk about Tesla a bit, because we all love them anyway. Yeah. You know, it's like, people talk about this. Like, oh yeah, they want to win more volume. You know, they want to, maybe they'll cut a bit off. And I think we did talk about this a few weeks back. They want to like get more. They are willing to sacrifice margin to win market share. But a big part of the growth of Tesla is in China, right? And maybe, you know, the price cut isn't so much an offensive move to win market share in the US, but a defensive move to kind of stop losing market share and mind share in China, right? And Singapore and all these other like developing countries. So I think that there's many, many ways to think about that. Okay. But yes, back to BYD.
So two other points we'd be already, which I thought is quite interesting and for our coconuts to look into, right? And especially listen to the earnings call that's going to be coming up. Number one, they're looking at a luxury car line.
Yeah.
In fact, I think in January, they released a photo of how it looks like, and it looks quite sick, right?
Okay.
Let's see it come out in real life first, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, we all saw the Cybertruck like years back. Yeah. I don't think we have seen a real one, so yeah. Sorry, back to Tesla.
Always bringing up Tesla. Always this guy.
he just ran free in my head. Okay.
Oh
yes,
my
yes.
God.
Luxury.
It's a little Elon Musk literally just yelling at you in the morning. And then you wake up. Oh my God. Okay. Back to BYD. So number one, they're looking at luxury car line. How and where they're going to be priced, I'm not too sure. We'll find out, obviously, when they're showing you their concept and when they're going to be rolling that out. But it does look pretty sick in the photo.
It looks like a legit sports car.
Yes.
I don't know whether it'll run like a legit sports car, but it looks like a sports
car. Yeah, it does. Yeah, and Google it, coconuts, right? As you're going on the train right now, just have a quick look, BYD, luxury car line. And you can see actually it looks pretty sick. Number two, right, they are moving. They're currently in China, obviously, and they're looking. You know, I think they're in Japan, Sweden, a few other European regions.
Yeah, they're
going
to Europe, something like that. Yeah,
right. But the big one that they want to go into is India, and I think that's the next massive market. They go in. They own China and India and some sort of like you know, big
given majority, like 30% market share in both these countries.
Yeah, exactly. Right? You don't need to be too big, right?
Yeah.
Yes, majority market share was the word I was looking for. Yeah. And that could be 30%, that could be 25%. It's massive. But they say that they would like to have 40% of India's EV market by 2030. I think that's staggering, number one, because India prides itself on Indian-made EVs. And we all know that companies out there, they would do it as well, like Tatas of the world and so on.
But are Tatas already doing EVs?
Yeah, they're venturing into EVs.
Okay, but nothing in production yet.
No, I don't believe it's as advanced as BYD or Tesla or anything like that.
They do, actually. Just from a quick Google. They do have electric cars in India.
Yes, they do. But like I said, I don't think it's to the level of BYD and Tesla. Yeah. But I think that's great. But also, they got to approach that cautiously because there's a lot of political tension between India and China right now.
Yeah.
As is with the rest of the world. But I think these two are massive. And if they can actually crack the India market, it's a game changer, right, for them.
Yeah. But, I'm kind of wary, right? Like this is kind of the one of those. So if you remember 2021, huge TAMs that never kind of come about. I mean, I don't know the Indian car market at all, right? Not even well. It's like at all. Know nothing about it.
At all. Yeah.
Literally Googled Tata EV, right? 2 minutes ago. But, I think one thing to be wary about is just because you win in China doesn't mean you win in India, right? And I would say that in China, there has been a lot of push on the infrastructure side of things to encourage EVs, right? With like charging stations, rebates, that kind of stuff. Not quite sure the extent to which that applies in India, right? Outside of the first tier cities or their equivalent of the first tier cities, because at the end of the day, India is still slightly behind on its development pathway, right? We are still talking about building enough power plants to provide basic electricity for huge parts of the country. So, yep. You know, and if you don't have enough power plants to have electricity, well, what use is an electric car? Right? Literally, what is an electric car?
True.
So, you know, I think, and maybe that's why it's 2030, but I think that that's a very, very long road to go. It's very, very early days. I don't know what will happen there. So maybe it works, maybe it won't. If they said 40% of Indonesia, right, which is another huge market, I'll be more inclined to believe them. But 40% in India, for a Chinese company, with all the tensions around India-China, it just seems, challenging.
So for, I mean, I agree with that, right? But to give you an update, for me, it's the fact that it's a Chinese company, not the fact of the EV industry in India, right? Because there is a massive, massive push in India as well, building out electric infrastructures, charging stations, all of that is going out. Automakers are actually pumping infrastructure as well.
How much of it actually gets built well on time, you know, and is serviceable? You know, I think there remains questions to be answered, right? And that's just the basic, right? That's just to service EVs. So I don't know. I think it's a bit, to me, it's a bit of, it's something that they want to sell to investors, but it's a challenging thing to fulfill.
It is, right? And not everyone can roll out stuff like Singapore can, right? Yeah. Obviously. And we got to give kudos to that. I think they roll it out brilliantly. But I do believe there is a massive push for EV. I mean, having been in India, everything, the conversation that we were having was actually very much around sustainability, right? So I do see that. When it's going to happen is a question mark. And you're right, delays always happen in India. Well, actually around the globe, right?
Yeah. Always happens. Infrastructure is painful, as we I have learned in the last 8 years of my career. Indian infrastructure is very, very painful. you know, it's a challenging market, right? Which everybody wants to have because it's English, it's a democracy, you know, no Western geopolitical tensions. But at the end of the day, with all the goodwill and capital in the world, it's still a challenging jurisdiction to play in, right? Whether from the investing side or from the, you know, actually building stuff side. We'll see.
I think their vision is good. I do see an upside for BYD, even if you know they take 5% of India. You know, they've got a whole ton of other countries.
Good that they're being ambitious. That they want to do something outside of Europe and US, which is where I think most people would be inclined towards. Right, so it's good to be ambitious. It's good to win or try to win the up and coming rather than the tried and tested. So that's good. Yeah. It's just
tough. How are they gonna do execution?
Even independent of BYD's execution, right? It's how India executes to build everything else so that you can have EVs or you can have good roads for EVs to run on. You know, things like that.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, but I think good news coming from BYD. Let's see if it can sustain. Exciting. Let's see how much
not
more they're going
to
grow.
But exciting.
Yeah. Exciting.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's move on to J&J.
And 3M. They fought for bankruptcy. I mean, that's the clickbait headline, right? See, I saw your eyes widen. You did not read this before that.
Nope.
But yeah, it's like, you know, super, super weird and esoteric. So, you know, bear with me for a bit. Yeah. So, I think what I found quite interesting was, you know, J&J, we think of them as baby powder, right? And 3M, we I mean, Post-its and that legendary story, whatever, of innovation. But you know, I think they also do a lot of stuff like earplugs and things like that. So what has been happening for many, many years is that they have been facing like tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of lawsuits, right, from users for defective products. So in the case of J&J, it was talcum powder, which is why you don't really see talcum powder around anymore. Claims of the asbestos in them, cancer concealing, whatever, right? And in the case of 3M, it was earplugs that they supplied to the US Army, right? That did not work. So everybody came out like deaf. Whoa. Or like with hearing loss. There's like 200,000 plus claims there. Okay, you can imagine, right? So many people suing you in the US, you have a jury who award like unreasonable damages. Like these are huge liabilities. All these companies have been doing is kind of this strategy that's called a Texas two-step. It's not a dance. Okay. It's just you go to Texas, okay. The US state. Right, you, where they have a law that allows you to split your assets and liabilities into two different companies. So you can essentially have, you know, your operating assets and all that in one company, which is your original company, and you put all your potential liabilities in terms of lawsuits and all that into a second the other one.
And then file for bankruptcy.
Yes, because, well, they're all liabilities, right? And what happens when you file for bankruptcy is that all lawsuits are paused because you need to settle claims amongst all creditors.
Which will never happen.
Yeah. Or like, you know, they'll happen very, very slowly as you go and talk to everybody and try to reach consensus. So yeah, that's what's been going on, like history. And what has happened over the last week, which is news, and therefore we can talk about it today, is that there have been certain, you know, court decisions in the US that did not allow this hiving off to take place.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So there's a state law that allows for the hiving off, then there's a part of it that other courts have come and said, no, you know, you can hive off, you can be in bankruptcy. We are going to let the creditors claims, are going to let lawsuits continue. So we are not pausing them. You go ahead. Right. And you still continue to get sued. And of course, once that happened, I think J&J's share price dropped 3%, you know, which is quite big for a big company that's not very volatile. And that 3M dropped like 1.5%. So it's something that's seen as good for the companies that may be potentially closed off. So I thought that was interesting.
Right. Oh, okay. So clearly all of this can only happen in the US.
Yeah.
Right. Texas two-step. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a dance. Right.
Yeah. No. It sounds like a dance, right? It's like quite catchy, quite cool.
Even the whole explanation of what a two-step is a dance.
Yes.
Oh, man. So what effectively has happened is that you mentioned, even though they've gone through with that, they can still continue to be sued. So the
there
lawsuits
was some,
are not stopped.
Yeah, there were some relatively high like appeal cases that the appeal judgments, I think it was like the second highest tier of the US courts that said, yeah, you know what, this is not what it was meant for. Because, I mean, you think about it, right? If you're a bankrupt company, and you have gone into bankruptcy protection, and let's say that you settle your claim for, I think in J&J, they were estimating $60 billion, right?
Wow.
How do you pay out the $60 billion? You have zero assets.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And how J&J got around that was by having the original company say, I will provide a $60 billion funding guarantee to the subsidiary, the new subsidiary. Then the court looked at this and said, hey, if you have a $60 billion funding guarantee, you're not bankrupt, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have assets, special liabilities, you're not bankrupt. Why are you here? Go away. You know, bankruptcy court is for bankrupt companies. You are not bankrupt. You know, go settle your stuff somewhere else. So that was the gist of the court's decision. And I mean, J&J said they'll appeal. It's an open question whether, you know, the U.S. Court of Appeal, whatever their highest court is called, will allow it and listen to the arguments, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's just kind of funky, I think. It's so U.S., right? Firstly, the $1 billion damages for like random stuff is very U.S. and then, you know, having overly convoluted processes and overly innovative, you know, mechanisms to deal with big dollar amount problems to save shareholders' money is also another very US thing. We are in late stage capitalism, man. Seriously.
Ah, oh, man. Only in the US, though, bro. These sort of things.
Yes. But yeah, I just thought it was like kind of interesting. Like, oh, you know, esoteric stuff that I can talk about.
Wow. So it's good to see what... I mean, firstly, you're not invested in J&J, right?
No, I'm not. I mean, like, it's kind of... Like, to me, it's kind of morally bad in the sense that you have, like, okay, you can deny liability, right, for whatever reason. You can fight it out in courts. You can do your legitimate, you know, actions to try to win in the courts. I think all that's fine. But to kind of hive off everything and say, hey, you know what, I'm denying liability, but even if I'm liable, I'm not going to be responsible for it. I think that's a step too far. Like, I can invest in, like, drug companies. I can invest in, like, you know, arms dealers, like Lockheed Martin, which is doing great. But, like, come on, you know, if you did wrong, pay up. Then if you didn't do wrong, then you fight it, right? You don't try to have a cake and eat it and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to pay up. I say, I'm going to do wrong, which I deny. But even if somebody impartial says that I did wrong, I'm not going to pay you, right? So I think that's the problem.
Yeah, fair. Jeez, this does not put J&J in a good light, to be honest.
Yeah, it doesn't. And 3M.
Yeah. And 3M, yeah. But we did talk about J&J last year, right? And maybe some coconuts out there might have... Pharma.
Yeah,
right? Pharma. So coming up with the COVID drug and all of those things,
yes. No? Yeah, I mean, like...
And the restructuring that they were doing and stuff like that as well.
Oh, I mean, if you want, we can talk about spin-offs. There's so many pharma spin-offs nowadays. It's kind of funky.
Limited liability corporations.
No. I think the pharma spin-offs are more to deal with. They have a very high margin, like R&D, and a very low margin, like generics business. And nobody wants to do the low margin generics business, right? So they just spin it off in an IPO to retail and then go, ha, I'm so high margin. Look at me. Give me a higher valuation. And management, like, makes a killing.
Yeah, what else is new?
Yeah, what else is new?
Yeah, I mean, this is just another Texas two-step. So,
that one is actually legal and, you know, not morally objectionable. So it's fine, right? We all want to get rich. It's understandable. But hopefully, we just don't harm people in the course of it.
Yeah.
I think what this kind of is kind of interesting to me is that, you know, if the court rulings do happen, there is a lot of potential liability for all your mass market products that you don't know when you'll hit, right? Because, I mean, in a very real and relatively neutral way, this is a case of, this is a step that helps companies, you know, kind of control their liabilities. No, even in, like, and can you imagine? Okay, let's not use Tesla because we've talked about them a lot, but let's say Toyota. Right.
Okay.
They have, for whatever reason, and let's say an unnamed car maker, they have, for whatever reason, you know, something in their airbags that causes a lot of people to suffer harm. You know, and they sell the cars everywhere, right? Yeah. If this doesn't work, if, like, there's no longer a Texas two-step, then there is potentially uncapped liability. Right, short, even with, like, after your auto recalls and whatever shit, right? There is going to be so much liability there. Like, how do your consumer companies actually work, right? Like you cannot give them as big a valuation because there is always that unknown specter, even if it's like 1%, 0.01% of stuff like that happening that literally could bankrupt a company, right?
Yeah,
like a $60 billion liability for J&J isn't nothing. No, it's still a substantial. It's still a substantial hit.
Exactly.
So if as long as your mass market product you sell in the US, hey, this is a risk that you kind of need to think about.
Fair. Yeah. But I
brought it back to, you know, something that we can do about it rather than just ranting about the unfairness of you know, big corporations.
Well, that's every week for us, no? Unfairness of big corporations.
No. I kind of like corporations that I own, you know, be a bit cutthroat and ruthless because that's how I make money as a shareholder, right? I mean, I would prefer that as an employee, I would prefer it not be cutthroat and ruthless. But as a shareholder, it's like, sure, why not be cutthroat and ruthless? You know, cut costs so you make more money and I make more money. I think that so it's always a bit of a tension, but, you know, it is what it is.
Two ways. Yeah, man. Jeez. Yeah. All right. Thanks for that, Anthony. Take us through Parkway Life REIT earnings and your hospital bill.
Yeah, my hospital was terrible. Like, I could have gone to Capella instead for a few weeks. like literally. yeah, but anyway, but yeah, Parkway Life REIT, in case you haven't figured it out, they lease Mount E, Mount Elizabeth, and Mount Elizabeth Novena, and one other private hospital in Singapore, and they are operator of like aged facilities in Japan. That's been their that's been the thing that they have been expanding in, and they have like random properties in Malaysia. That sort of stuff, right? Their healthcare REIT, you know, we covered them on Stock Geek Out, I think last year. I remember doing the Stock Geek Out on it, and one of the questions I had for Willie then was, look, right, you know, they have grown their DPU for at that time 14 years, now 15 years. That's great, you know, increasing dividends of 15 years is no mean feat. But your yield at that time was like 2.5%, right? Why bother? It's a 2.5% yield. You know, your returns are, your total returns aren't great. Slow and steady, but you are a tortoise lah. What's the point? You know, might as well go with like Frasers or someone with like 4 or 5%, and you know, or DBS at 4%, right? And do better.
Yeah.
So I think that was the question mark then in terms of valuation. And you know, we thought, oh yeah, and then after the hospital bill, they just had earnings last week also, so it's not just about hospital bill. you thought okay, I know, time to like, you can look at it again. And yeah, it's actually quite impressive to the point where I felt like, hey, maybe can buy, not just you know, suka throw money down the drain.
Jeez, okay, so what's their growth?
7. Yeah, so growth, you know, again, still slow and steady. I think gross revenue for the year was up 7.5% year on year. Net property income up 9%. The most important figure, distribution per unit, was like up 2% to 14 cents.
So what's distribution per unit? Yeah, explain
dividends.
That.
Dividends.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, read they call it something different, but essentially dividends, yeah. Yeah, because it's not. Technically, it's not technically a dividend, so I guess they call it distributions, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, and I think the price around is like around $4 now, so that's 3.5% yield, slightly better than
talking
about it last year. I mean, well, no, you know, Singapore T-bills pay you 4%, you go to CIMB fixed deposit, who they should sponsor us, by the way, 4.1% something. So, you know, and that's risk-free, right? That's FDIC, SDIC insured, you know. All of that for 12 months, 18 months, this is what, 3.5%, yeah, you take on risk because they could fall, you could go under, stuff like that, right? So, you know, 3.5%, you okay objectively, but, you know, you open it up to the universe of things that you could invest in, or, you know, it seems a bit, that seems to be a bit of a lack of value, right?
There might be better options out there.
Yeah. You're trying to say. I mean, if you just want like a cash return in a year, you know, with the whole REIT, maybe there's a chance of it going further up, and therefore you have capital gains as well that you know, covers it, but you take risk for that, right? Whereas the 4%, the 4+% in the bank's FD or like Singapore T-bills are like risk-free. Or you take the risk of your government default, which is, you know, I mean, if the Singapore government defaults, we have much, much bigger problems than whether my REIT in Singapore is paying out.
Yeah. No, really. We've got other things with them.
Yeah, we've got much pressure.
So in that case, right, when you said, you know, this is not just suka, we can freely invest. So why would you do this as opposed to putting cash in your bank?
So I think there's a few things, right? One is, you know, like any money into something like this, like if 15 years of like consistent dividend growth is attractive to you, then I think it kind of means that when you buy a company like this, you're not buying it for 15 months, right? It's something that you want to hold longer term because you believe that they can consistently grow. So I think that's okay. One. Two is, you know, I mean, cash is great and all that. But if, let's say, like FDs and all that are fantastic, I just put quite a bit of money in there for the next 6 months. But, you know, if you want to if you still want to invest, if you want to grow it more than 4%, right, or for the longer term, then, hey, you in this economic climate, you want something that's relatively defensive. You want something that does well in recessions. You want something that, you know, doesn't disappear overnight. Right, and you know, a REIT that is very, very stable like this compared to, let's say, you know, Asia Pay TV Trust, right, which pays 10 I think 9-10% dividend yields a year, but it's super risky. Mm. With not a very clear business model, I think that is probably, you know, something that we can look at, right? That is a bit more preferable. Like if you want to be defensive, you know, instead of only buying Sheng Siong, you know, you can look at stuff like, you know, healthcare REITs, right? Yeah, and I think, you know, like if you like we can go and listen to Stock Geek Out. We went into quite a bit of detail about how it works and how it operates. But I think importantly, you know, in this rising rate environment, few things to highlight is that their gearing is relatively low at 36%. You know, their debt is mostly at fixed costs. So they have either hedged it out or they just took out a fixed rate loan at 1.08 or 1.09%.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right. So it's extremely low debt costs. I think not, and this is including the risk-free rate, right? Including SOFR or whatever stuff.
Mm.
So not like SOFR is 3% itself. So this is really, really low rates. Their revenues, you know, they lease out hospitals. Every year the rents increase, right? And they are supposed to increase every year by at least CPI plus 1%. So, you know, no matter how high inflation is, your rent next year will be higher than that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so if you are worried about high inflation, well, in Singapore, well, not super much to worry about. Right. And, you know, they have foreign currency exposure because of the Japanese and their Japanese properties and all that. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like they have a natural hedge because their revenues are also in Japanese yen. And for the parts that aren't really hedged out, you know, they do fixed currency swaps and all that to hedge it. So it isn't like, I mean, people worry about like Japanese yen depreciating too much, the government losing control of the JGBs, all that sort of thing. But, you know, if it's hedged out, there's some offsetting, there's some set off. So you probably won't die too much. Right. So I think that is probably the case I'll make for Parkway Life. It's going to be very stable, very defensive. You can use it to ride it out over the next year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, right? However long a recession takes, and you'll do decently, right? You won't be fantastic. You won't be like 50% returns a year, but hey, you know, with a bit of luck, a bit of volatility, you can really get 8-9% at a very, very low variance.
There you go. Right. So that would be a reason. Of course, you're taking on some risk, but it might be better than SA, right? It's effectively where I was going to come up.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. How do we go about learning more about this or investing in this?
I mean, you can buy on Tiger, Mumu, IBKR, DBS Vickers. I mean, it's a Singapore stock, right?
So all over
wherever. I mean, anywhere in Singapore, so you know, wherever you can think about buying stocks, you can probably buy them. You should probably own it in CDP, so one of the local brokerages rather than a custodian one like everyone else. But you know, you have to pay higher fees for that, so I think that's something to weigh. And listen to our Stock Geek Out from many, many moons ago. I think that was quite an interesting one. Where the downside risk that we were thinking of like kind of came true and like kind of got mitigated over the course of the year. So kind of fun.
Yeah, exactly. But by the way, Anthony, just to let you know, we do have some international viewers. Okay. This is a global show. But yes,
anyway. Okay. We do. That's great. All of you should come by Singapore REITs, you know, add liquidity to our market.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Not joking on that front. We do have some international visitors, listeners. So thank you so much. Yeah,
no withholding for tax, listening. You know, no capital gains tax in Singapore. Your local
we bring
tax,
you back to your country, maybe there was.
That one, not my problem, your problem. Right? So, yeah. Yes, Singapore REITs, the way to go.
Awesome, man. I think that was a good ending as well. Coconuts, hope you know what the bill is that Anthony went through and how his lobster fried rice was. Wait, lobster claypot rice was.
Lobster chicken claypot rice.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we had like lobster thermidor. We had some like abalone soup, that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's sad that my kid went to hospital, but the food was quite good.
Okay. Some silver linings.
Yeah, some silver lining. When you're stuck in a room for 5 days, you know, some silver lining.
Awesome, awesome, man. Well, good to know that your kid is better. Coconuts, thanks again for listening. Hope you learned a thing or two. And let us know if you have any further questions or want us to do certain things.
Yeah, or want us to cover any, more Singapore REITs. Oh, so much earnings. Yeah. So exciting.
Yes, absolutely. Once again, hope you're back to work. Traveling every day after Chinese New Year break.
MIT is crowded, no more seats.
It's so crowded, man.
Go Raffles and on place, that no note, lunch.
Yeah, on that note, we will see you folks next week. Take care.
All right, bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode with me, Rakesh, and trust that you learned something today. If you enjoyed the session and want to be part of the banter, join our community Telegram group or follow us on social media. We also have a weekly newsletter to get a digest of the news we covered. To sign up, please click the description below. As always, we love your feedback, so share that with us at hello@thefinancialcoconut.com. Thanks and stay safe.